Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Europa League semi-final preview, Manchester United against Roma. Arsenal visit Villarreal in the first leg. We have James Bench, Jimmy Conrad, Qué Golazo. Europa League semi-finals begins right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Qué Golazo, our Europa League semi-final preview. Ooh, baby, I love it. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, and I want to give a warm welcome, a virtual embrace, that is, to all the new listeners of the Qué Golazo podcast. We love having you here, and if you guys have been here since the very beginning, you're the OG followers of the Qué Golazo family. We appreciate you as well. Thank you for joining us.
I love it. The OG of the QG. That's what it's like. And listen, by the way, I'm really glad you said that, Jimmy, because this is a really, we just keep growing. This pod keeps growing and it's because of you. So thank you so much and spread the word. Hey, James Bench, how are you, my friend?
I would like to put on record that I only appreciate the OG listeners. You need to be listening to this. Where have you been? I want a full year's service before I start treating you with any respect.
No, that, you know what? That's a valid point. If you started listening just because of Super League chatter, shame on you. We've been giving you so much more. We had Thierry Henry on the show, for crying out loud.
I was going to say they should go back and listen to everything they missed, but I don't think they'd ever catch up with us.
No, not a chance. They're probably still going on about Fabrizio Romano, to be honest with you. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Welcome Europa League semi-final preview. Some real tasty games. We want to begin, though, we'll begin with Arsenal. It's rightly so to begin with Arsenal, because there's a few things that have been going on since Super League chatter. James Bench, before we begin on the preview and updates on the squad, and Jimmy drops in on lines and his analysis on the Gunners against Villarreal, I wanted to just touch a little bit on Daniel Ek, the CEO of Spotify, making a lot of noise right now. And as of recently, went on CNBC speaking some things about Arsenal takeover. Can you update us, please?
Yeah, one normal day of Arsenal. This is all I ask for. Will never happen. So the latest, as we stand, as we record this, Daniel Ek has spoken on CNBC just after Spotify announced its results. And despite being on there to talk about Spotify results, mostly spoke about his mooted $2.5 billion takeover bid for Arsenal, which hasn't been submitted yet. But the current owners, the Cronkies, have been very clear that they're not in the mood for negotiation. Ek was speaking after a statement from the Cronkies, and maybe I can shed a bit more light on that afterwards, but Ek really clear, it's not over yet. He's in for the long haul. Notably, he said he secured the funds to make this bid. So there are questions about where the money comes from. He's worth around $4.5 billion, but most of that's tied up in Spotify shares. The founder of Spotify is not really someone that's going to look to sell his holding in a huge tech company. He says he's found funding. I think Arsenal fans should be asking for answers about, you know, where else is the money coming from, as well as X significant personal fortune. But I mean, it really worth reaffirming time and time again, you know, the Cronkies don't sell sports teams. They have a lot of them. They've said publicly they are not willing to sell on more than one occasion. And they've also said to Mikel Arteta, look, we're backing you financially in this window. Arsenal are going to look to sell players that they will get a lot of money for, or hope to get a lot of money for. You know, young English players like Maitland-Niles, Willock might be available, and Nketiah. Each of those will fetch a good price. I think they can be quite aggressive in the transfer market this summer. So, I mean, what I'd say is this is not a story that's going to go away anytime soon, because Ek is insistent that the fact that the Cronkies are saying it's not on doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and I hear the partnerships that he's creating, apparently with Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Arsenal legends, which makes it interesting. I'm imagining, as you also said, that maybe this is venture capitalist money that might be helping. I'm very wary. I'm also wary, Jimmy. When he was talking about this, he was saying, I've been a fan since I was 8 years old. I breathe and eat, consume Arsenal. I love them. I've never read a tweet from him about Arsenal. I don't even think he follows them. I know it's not that major deal, but you know, it's a little bit weird. Don't you think, Jimmy? What do you make of it?
I just feel like there's a new trend emerging. We saw oil money come into the game, and now we're seeing music money come into the game. So I really just want to throw out Apple Music. If you want to get involved and compete with Spotify again in some more other space in the world, why not my Newcastle, right? We're struggling right now. We can get former players involved. Alan Shearer can be a part owner, whatever. Come save us, Apple Music. Please, somebody. I'll even take Pandora. Nobody even listens to Pandora because of the commercials, but I'll even take the CEO of Pandora, the founder of Pandora, to get in there and buy Newcastle. That probably sounds a little bit better than Apple Music. So it's interesting. To your point about him not tweeting about social media, yeah, you're right. If he's a diehard Arsenal fan, they love nothing more than to go complain on social media. I love you guys out there. I know you're like, oh, here he goes. But it is interesting that he hasn't really put anything out there. That said, if you love a club, you love a club. And when you have time for it, you have time for it, I suppose. And now he has time for it because he wants to own it and be the guy that helps save Arsenal and put him back up on the pedestal where he feels they belong. I love his energy. I think it's going to force Kroenkes to do something, right? So even if, you know, the money from Spotify or his little, we don't really know where it's coming from yet. We don't know his personal finances. It's putting a lot of pressure on Kroenkes to do something. You know, you have somebody that wants your team. If you don't want it, then sell it. But if you do want it, then do something with it. And so that's a really a good thing, ultimately. That's one. Secondly, as a former player, when you hear chatter from the fans, the constant chatter from the fans about, oh, if we just had new signings, when you're on that team and all you hear from the fans is we just need new signings, you don't really feel that great about yourself. You're like, well,
That's a good point.
I guess I'm not good enough. I guess I'm not, you know, we're not where we need to be. And of course, you know, one or two signings can help solidify a lot of things. We know that, but there is that kind of undercurrent that doesn't get talked about a lot from a player perspective of the fans actually don't believe in us because all they do is bitch about needing more signings.
Yeah. Well, Manny actually said that the other day at Arsenal. He just said, no one supports me. And he's a great example of a player that, like, you know, everyone knows he's a bit limited. He's not a Premier League winning midfielder, obviously. But it is that it's a strange thing of, like, I think particularly this year at some of the big clubs, fans haven't really, because they haven't been in the ground, obviously, but there hasn't really been a huge groundswell of support. There's been a lot of criticism and not a huge amount of support online. I think this, without the fans in the stadium, it must be such a hard atmosphere to try and work and try and be successful in and try and not make the stupid mistakes that you have been making.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And by the way, I just want to end it with this because we do have games to talk about. You know, like you said, Kroenke's not selling. I'm just telling you this right now. He would, like, it's not, he's like James Dolan and the Knicks. It's not happening. It's just not happening. So, you know, but like Jimmy said as well, this is probably not going away. But anyway, let's talk about games here. Arsenal is in the semifinals of the Europa League, one game away from the final. The last time they were there, Unai Emery took them there. And that's exactly who they're facing. They're traveling to Villarreal in the first leg. We have some good news from a squad perspective, James Bench. What's the latest?
It's stunning. Unbelievable. Like, genuinely. So in Mikel Arteta's press conference, he was asked, will David Luiz be available? Will Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, suffering from malaria, like, will he be available? And they said, yeah, they're all available. Including yeah, and I genuinely, you know, these things are live. You're kind of tweeting it out. And you're going, Kieran Tierney was supposed to be out till the end of the season, and he's now in training today. It was really interesting. Arteta said he'd been a beast on the training field, like desperate to come back. And I think, I'm sure he had an eye on this game because it's probably the biggest game of the season so far. Tierney's availability in particular completely changes this Arsenal team. You know, they've been playing Granit Xhaka at left back. He's been doing the best he can, but it's, you know, he can't bomb up and down the left like Tierney. He can't deliver across like Tierney can. And there's not many left backs in Europe that can deliver across like Tierney can. This is massive. I don't know if they'll all play. I mean, he did say that Tierney's potentially a doubt for this week, but sounds like he might be available for next or even to come off the bench on Thursday. You know, that's four of your most important players. I mean, three key starters, because it's probably only one of Aubameyang or Lacazette. Massive. Changes my view of the tie quite significantly.
Jimmy, this is crazy.
Well, what I wanted to say was that nobody tucks their shirt in like Tierney as well. So he has that going for him.
A proper old school player.
He is proper old school, kind of got that grandpa vibe, but he goes out and does his business. And I like the fact that Arteta said he was a beast during training to get back into this. You can tell.
He's a very good player, man.
His eagerness. Yeah. I mean, they used to call Tim Duncan in the NBA, the big fundamentals. And I feel like Tierney falls into that as well. He's got all the fundamentals and he does everything simply and smart, and he doesn't crush it all the time. He's not a physical specimen by any stretch of the imagination, but he does know where to pick his spots, and I like his timing of when he bombs forward, and he'll do the work, right? So yes, I think that does help a lot. We saw with Real Madrid, when you play a player that doesn't normally play a left back spot and put him there, doesn't always work out, right? The flow of the game changes. The team can't transition the same way. So without Tierney there, with all due respect to Granit Xhaka, who I think has been playing admirably in that spot, he is not Tierney. What's interesting for me with regard to this is who ends up starting. Because yes, these guys are coming back from injury, but it doesn't mean they're match fit. They're not sharp in the same way that they need to be. And obviously losing to Everton in the way that they did over the weekend, Bernardo letting that pretty easy goal goes so Arsenal. Nothing more Arsenal than that. I just don't know how that's going to impact the team moving forward. There is two themes or one theme for both of these semifinals. Roma and Arsenal both need to win this competition to qualify for Europe. And that desperation changes things. Villarreal still hanging around in that sixth spot, so they could qualify and should qualify for the Europa League next season. Though domestically, they haven't been great lately. But Villarreal are so good in the Europa League. They've won 11 out of 12 Europa League games so far. They're perfect at home. 6 wins out of 6.
Yeah, perfect. So, not undefeated. Perfect. Right. Yeah.
They've won 6 out of 6. So for me, a win, not in the traditional sense, but a win for Arsenal would be to get an away goal, maybe to lose 2-1 and then go back to the Emirates and try to get something from that. That for me would be really monumental for them to get a goal. And I thought they were lights out. Arsenal were fantastic against Slavia Prague. And it's nice to see them, you know, knock out a few racists. I think we were all very excited to see that and for them to do it in such style and such grace and to really just pile it on. If we see that version of Arsenal, then they've got more than a chance, not only to get that one goal, but to potentially win this first tie. I just think this Villarreal team is so professional. Gerard Moreno is on fire. He'd be looking to score in his 7th straight Europa League game, which is unheard of. So Arsenal does have some work to do on both sides of the ball. And that does impact the bets, because if Lacazette starts or if Aubameyang starts or whatever they go with, I don't think Tierney's going to play, but whatever they do to cover that position, it influences things. So I'll give you guys some things to consider, but ultimately just keep that in mind, that I think that starting lineup is going to impact how you should shape your bets.
And the match fitness is a key thing as well, because this is also Arteta saying, listen, they're available, but I didn't say they're going to play or they're going to play significant minutes. So that's one thing to consider. The other thing is, you mentioned, you know, Villarreal, so perfect at home. And, you know, let's talk about Unai Emery, James Bench, for a second, because he's taken Sevilla to 3 titles in the Europa League too. Like, it's not just Villarreal and it's not just Arsenal, you know, that went to the final, obviously didn't win it, but still, what do you think Arsenal fans are feeling these days as they face their former manager?
I mean,
I
certainly think they do. I think it was a frustrating period in Arsenal's history, because I think there was a belief that post Wenger, it was a bright new dawn. And I mean, I think to an extent, Emery was just too much of a zag to the previous, you know, zig. He couldn't get messages across to the fans, to the media, to the players. And I think that in the end, that became the issue. You know, when I spoke to people just after Emery left, they sort of said, you know, he spent all his time up in his office with his assistants trying to work out the right tactics to turn this around. He was a really reactive manager. And I think that was just a culture shock for Arsenal, and it was a culture shock for him coming into a club that it was like, no, we don't do reactive. We're a team that likes to play the same way every time, and whoever the opposition is, it just wasn't a perfect fit. And you know, there was some, you know, the communication was poor. I know it was led to some quite cruel jokes at his expense, which clearly, since he's left, he's kind of brushed aside, and I think that reflects the class of him. But he kind of could tell from day one it was going to be a struggle for him to get his message across to the players. I do think that there's, you kind of have to admire his ability to get through this competition consistently. When he was with Arsenal, he beat some really good teams along the way, Valencia, Napoli. I think it's fair to say that the road so far for Villarreal hasn't been that hard through the knockout stages. But I mean, you have to go back to 2012 for him losing a two-legged game. And that was, I think, the only team he's lost two-legged games in the Europa League against was Atletico Madrid twice. You know, he's a master of this competition. His teams play football that suits it. They tend to get away goals as well. He's not afraid to play with two up top. I like him. His press conference just now as well, I think there was a real enduring respect. He offered to give Mikel Arteta his house, which is... I wouldn't really.
You mean permanently or just for the night? Or
no, if like you know, I think Emery was like, well, look, I haven't got any need for this house in London anymore. Do you want to borrow it until you found a place?
Oh,
I
don't think God, that's very nice of him.
Yeah, that's class and all. That's you know, that's something the Cronkies could learn from.
Class, love it, love it. Some really good points. All right, listen, before Jimmy gives us some betting tips, and a very good point, Jimmy. You know, we don't really know yet the overall makeup of the squad. However, I am willing to feel, well, from a Villarreal perspective, first of all, like you mentioned, you know, Gerard Moreno, but they also have Dani Parejo in the midfield. They have one of the best Spanish center backs out there in Pau Torres as well. So who goes up front for Arsenal to me is key. And also the young guys have to deliver. Just like you said, the Slavia Prague performance was so good. Emile Smith Rowe, the Kevin De Bruyne from Croydon, needs to have a game of his life. Saka is amazing, but it can't just be him. I think Martinelli is key here. If he plays, he needs to have a great game. What do you think?
Wait. Is Odegaard healthy?
Yes. He played a little bit against Everton. I don't know if he'll be ready to start, but definitely ready for a bigger role.
It makes a difference when he plays. So who's your front three then, Benj? I mean, let's say Lacazette does get the start. Who's your next three? Because I love the Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka.
Yeah, I think it's that.
You do? But then maybe Martinelli or Aubameyang. I mean, you got options. Pepe's been good in Europa League too.
You don't think? Who's your most likely to be your number nine?
I think Aubameyang might get it just because it's that thing of like which is harder to come back from, illness or injury. I don't know. I mean, Jimmy probably can speak to this easier than me. Although I don't think Jimmy, you've ever come back from malaria. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No. If I have, unfortunately.
I think chickenpox once.
Yeah.
I think he goes Aubameyang because this might be a game where there needs to be a bit more counter-attack.
Okay, well, that changes everything.
But I still think it does. Smith Rowe, Odegaard, Saka, probably.
Okay. All right. So, Jimmy, what do you think of that?
So something to take into consideration that Arsenal are currently unbeaten, seven game unbeaten streak away from home. And they've scored at least 3 goals in the last 4 on the road. I'm taking that into consideration, and that is with different types of lineups. So I think Arsenal are going to get a goal. I think Villarreal are going to win, though. I can't believe on William Hill, you can get Villarreal to win straight up plus 150. These guys have won 6 out of 6 at home in the Europa League. And yes, some of the opponents aren't of the quality of Arsenal. That said, they just know how to get it done, and their league form hasn't been good. They've been kind of stumbling a little bit, but I think that's because their focus is on this competition in particular. I still think they're going to secure that number 6 spot in La Liga and get into the Europa League next year, or maybe even the Champions League if they win this competition. I like that straight up bet. If you just want to play it there, put that in a parlay. I think Villarreal will do it, but Arsenal will score that away goal, and that will make that second leg very tricky. I would also look at, if you think both teams are going to score and Villarreal to win, that's plus 360. So that value jumps up quite a bit. And then if you want to throw Gerard Moreno in there, him to score anytime is plus 105 or minus 105. So he's pretty much even money to hit the back of the net. That would be 7 straight games. Maybe it won't be him this time around. Maybe there'll be so much attention on Moreno that'll open up space for Carlos Bacca or Paco Alcacer if he comes off the bench, or Chukwueze, who's a terrific player, and he scored against Barcelona this past weekend in their 3-1 loss. So, yeah, there's options there. I just think that Villarreal just have a little bit better of an identity and everybody healthy and ready to go in this one. Whereas Arsenal, I think, are hoping, right? We get into that. Can you get it done versus hoping you can get it done? And I still feel like Arsenal are in that hope department. But that said, like I said at the very beginning, desperation, knowing that you need to win these games to get into Europe the following season, it does change how you approach it. And you start to have that that swagger of, we got nothing to lose. Let's just go out there and give our best. When Arsenal's thinking in that way, like we saw against Slavia Prague in the second leg, they are excellent, excellent team. But
and in the FA Cup.
That too. If Villarreal scores first, that makes me a little bit nervous, Benj, for Arsenal, because I could see them being like, all right, let's just keep this tight. Let's not give up any more goals. Let's just send this to the second leg. But if Arsenal can score first, it'd be really, really interesting. So this is a great game. I'm looking forward to it. I do hope, I'm kind of pulling for Unai Emery to get a one-up on his former club. So those are the lines I'm looking at. But there's a lot of intriguing ones for you guys to consider on William Hill.
Well, the only thing that I'll say is that Arsenal don't need to win this. They just need to score this and keep the score minimal. So if it's a 2-1 loss, if Villarreal wins this 2-1, that I think that's fine for Arsenal, to be perfectly honest. So that's what I'm going with. I think Villarreal is going to win this 2-1. But Arsenal will get that key away goal, I think. James Bench, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was with you. I was torn between 2-1 and 1-1. I'm sure there's a little bit of Arsenal optimism in me that's going for that 1-1 result. But yeah, the only thing I feel confident in is that both teams will score. And I think, you know, just what Jimmy was saying, this Arsenal team, it may not be in the first leg, but it may be in the second. When they really need to, when it's do or bust, they tend to do. You know, the FA Cup, they beat Man City and Chelsea because they needed to get in. They needed it. They need to get into Europe.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same here. I'm probably going 1-1. I think they're a better team than the circumstances they foist upon themselves. And maybe they just start paying attention now in a way they haven't really in the Premier League.
Well, 1-0 would be fantastic.
That's the heavy correct score line. Draw 1-1 is plus 490. Then it jumps
what
up
do you
to
have?
I'm going to go 2-1 Villarreal. I'm going to show some respect to Unai Emery and their perfect home record throughout this. And I think they're going to make enough plays. I could see a 1-0, frankly. You know, I could see it just being a one goal affair. And I've just been really impressed with Unai Emery and his team throughout this competition. And so I'm going to show some respect to 11 wins and one draw through 12 games.
Yep. Well, that's where I'm going as well. Well, listen, you know, you have plenty of information, everybody, to go whatever way. Either way, we're all saying that there's going to be goals. Two out of three here are saying that there'll be goals from both sides. So we'll see what happens in that first leg. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, another game, Manchester United against Roma. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Que Golazo, Europa League semifinal preview. Let's talk Manchester United against Roma. Jimmy Conrad, let's begin with you. What say you about this one?
Okay, I'm going to do some like Man United stats and then some Roma stats. I'm going to do some compare and contrast, and you guys can decide where you want to go with it in terms of the narrative. United have played in 5 semifinals since the start of 2020.
Wow.
And they haven't made it to one final.
Wow,
so,
again.
So they do an excellent job of getting themselves into these spots, but have yet to make it to one final. Will Bruno Fernandes, who got signed in January of 2020, finally help them get to the final, get to the finish line, and then we'll see if they can cross it first. Now let's go to Roma. Roma have only won 1 out of their last 7 league games. And why that's significant is because, very similar to Arsenal, it doesn't look like they're going to finish in the top 6. They're not even going to qualify for Europe. Very similar to Arsenal, obviously. And so they need to win this competition. So that gives them that air of desperation and nothing to lose against a team that they're not the favorites. They're definitely the underdogs in this one. Now, for Manchester United, this is their second consecutive semifinal in the Europa League. Last year, they got dumped out by Sevilla. And since they got dumped out of the Champions League group stages, which they shouldn't have after losing to Istanbul Başakşehir, don't want to get into it. I mean, how do you give a breakaway to Demba Ba? It's like, okay, sorry. They beat Real Sociedad. They had a tough draw. Real Sociedad 4-0 over two legs. They took down AC Milan, and then they had a plucky Granada team that they also beat 4-0. So they've actually been very good in this competition. However, let's go back to Roma. Let's talk Edin Dzeko in particular. They've won just one out of their last eight matches, and they're going to need Edin Dzeko to get out of his slump. He currently hasn't found the net in any of his last 12 Serie A appearances. That's the worst form he's been in 13 years. But during his time with City, the club he scored the most against was Manchester United.
Of course.
In the Premier League. On the flip side, Edinson Cavani, by the way, and I love this stat, has 9 career goals against Roma, making him his favorite Italian team to score against. Then you have Chris Smalling and Henrik Mkhitaryan. They're going to both be healthy for this one, coming back to face their former club at Old Trafford. And then you have that United are also unbeaten their last 17 home games in the Europa League, winning 13 and drawing 4. And then Roma have only won one of their 17 previous European fixtures in England, losing 10 of those games, including 3 at Old Trafford. And that's what I got for you.
No, that is fantastic stuff. Listen, James, I have Manchester United win this whole thing. Okay. I just purely think that, especially in the Europa League, depth is very important. You're reaching the 77th minute, the 78th minute. You need those extra numbers that come on the pitch that are not just like fresh, but also just as good as what you just replaced with. And that's what Manchester United has. You have your Mason Greenwoods. Donny van de Beek is no joke. He can give you something even in the latter stages. So that's why I have them. And then the other thing is that Roma lost to Cagliari this past weekend. It was an unbelievable loss, honestly. Jimmy was texting me straight after it. Like,
In a
must-win game. An absolute beep show, honestly. Actually, it was a shit show. I don't even have to not say it. So, James, what do you see from this? Is it done and dusted from Manchester United? Will it be harder than we think?
No, it won't be harder. Can we move on? One interesting little stat.
Can we move on?
On Roma. Fun.
If we moved on, we're done with the pod. So yeah.
Well, there we go. Fun stats on Roma here. Most errors leading to shots in Serie A this season. Most errors leading to goals. Their high line is the sort you might describe as, on occasion, suicidal. It is certainly high reward, but very high risk, particularly when the players looking to get in behind you are Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, maybe someone like Dan James comes in for this reason. I think it might not be a perfect game for Cavani, actually, as good as he's been. But, you know, and Fonseca was saying this, I think, in an interview with Gab Marcotti, he was saying, you know, we bring these errors on ourselves. It is a really risky strategy they play here. It is exactly the sort that Man United playing. You know, Man United are quite average when it comes to breaking down low block teams. They don't have a game plan. They just have give it to Fernandes and Pogba. And actually sometimes that works. But against teams that breast them high, they are so good at cutting through the lines. Exploiting space with the pace they've got up front. So what you need to do if you're defending high is you need to be perfect. You need to press really aggressively. You need to force errors from Lindelof and from Maguire. It looks like the evidence, you know, of Roma's season is that they're not perfect on their high line yet that Fonseca wants them to use. He said he won't change that. Another fun thing to leave this on. They're top in Serie A in both categories. Can you guess which team is ahead of them in terms of errors leading to shots and level with them on errors leading to goals?
Juventus.
Yeah, I'd say Juve.
Juventus.
In the Europa League.
Europa League. Arsenal.
Yes. Obviously. Glorified clan.
That's a great stat, though. That's a great stat. And I think the most important fact here is that Manchester United are very good when they're being pressed because they just counter so quick. I just thought, Roma, you said it, man. You said everything. They're suicidal. And then from the stats that Jimmy just gave, I just don't see anything but a Manchester United win. I'm actually really surprised that they beat out Ajax, to be perfectly honest, to be in this situation.
Oh, 100%.
So
Man United should feel lucky they're not playing against Ajax because Ajax, for me, are a better team in almost every single category. But Roma still found a way to get through. And that quality is an intangible that's hard to put your finger on. That's hard to teach. That's just something kind of your belief that your team has. That said, Ajax, the third string goalkeeper didn't do them any favors in leg one, and Dusan Tadic missing a penalty obviously didn't help either. So that tie could have been drastically different. And Man United's got to feel pretty good that they drew Granada in the last round and now get a Roma team that's kind of on the ropes and a little unsure of themselves and playing the suicidal high line, which plays well in their hands. So it's,
they do face Liverpool this weekend, Jimmy, though. Does that change anything?
No, I don't think it does. It's, that game's more for Liverpool, I think, than Manchester United. But obviously that's a derby that kind of is outside of any league stuff, right? You always want to win that one no matter what.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It should make a little bit of a difference. I'm curious to see who he starts, but they really want to have to put their stamp on this. And I feel like they've been fortunate to, at least against Sociedad and Granada, the two La Liga teams, they played away from home first leg and they got good results there because they're tremendous away from home. And then against AC Milan, they struggled in that first leg. So maybe Roma can do the same and really kind of, you know, maybe punch them. You get that first goal or get something to put them under pressure because they're expected to win. Man United don't always do so well when they're expected to win. And I don't know. So for me, this is what I'm looking at. Bruno Fernandes, he's amazing in this competition. So he's played 30 Europa League games for Manchester United and Sporting Clube de Portugal. And in those 30 games, he's got 17 goals and 11 assists. So I'm looking at him to score anytime as an option, plus 110, because he takes all the penalties and they get a lot of penalties. I'm looking at him to potentially get an assist as well, plus 150, because he takes all the set pieces. I like Cavani getting over one shot on target. So he's got to have two or more, plus 150, because I think he is going to get a lot of action and just got to put two on frame, baby. Let's do it. And then United to, so this is where I'm a little bit, where I want to get you guys' insight. Do you think Roma can score? When I look back at their track record over the last 2 months, let's say it's about 15 games, 14 or 15 games. They've only not scored twice. It was against Genoa and Napoli. So they know how to find the back of the net and they have a lot of different guys that can do it. I'm just curious if you guys think they can do it this time around. So if you want United to win with a clean sheet, that's plus 150. If you want United to win and both teams to score, plus 225. What I do know for sure is I think United are going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, James, give me your score prediction and any final thoughts, you know, before I give mine. I mean, we all know Man United is winning this first leg.
Yeah, definitely. Jimmy's got me a bit doubtful over whether Roma might score. And you think there's some good players there. Someone like Mkhitaryan is going to have a real bee in his bonnet to play well against the team that so mistreated him. basically ruined his career, didn't they?
I thought Arsenal ruined his career.
Oh, well, no, Arsenal's just where you come when your career's already ruined.
Oh, well played. All right, what do you have then?
I went for 1-0 when we did our predictions for the site, so I may as well stick to that. Is that or 2-1? I do think United are winning this.
Yeah, I went for 2-0 Manchester United. I don't see Roma doing anything here. Manchester United are just going to be really up for this. And I think, to be honest with you, equally, just like you said, Jimmy, Arsenal need the Europa League trophy. Manchester United don't need to win this, but it would be certainly very nice for finally the Red Devils to get like a European trophy, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be great for Ole Gunnar in particular. Obviously, we've given him a hard time over the last year.
Well, really so.
Is he good? Is he bad? Nobody knows. And so this would help solidify that he maybe deserves a little bit more credit than we give him. So I think United will win 2-1. I'm going to give that one goal to Roma, not because I quietly support them in Serie A, but also because... Yeah, okay, all right, Ben, that's enough from you. But I would say that they do have that... They have something to them that they always just kind of hang around. And I think they're going to have enough to hang around in for leg two. And they did it against Ajax, surprisingly, somehow got past Ajax.
Well, so Edin Dzeko used that too, right? So...
Dzeko, if he starts, they might go with Borja Mayoral, who actually has been better than Dzeko, a little bit shiftier, does a little bit more things in the box. Dzeko has slowed down. But if you're going to feel like your numerical advantages are out wide, you're going to whip a lot of balls in, then Dzeko's probably a better target for you than Mayoral.
Well, you clearly get better odds with a Roma goal, right?
Yeah, you do. You do for sure. Okay, so if you get a Roma goal and Man United win, that's plus 250, I think I said. If you want to do the parlay, I'm going to go with both home teams to win in this one, Man United and Villarreal. Both of them to win in a parlay is plus 288. So I'm looking at that as well.
But James is going to ruin it for us again, Jimmy.
He always
Benji
can't go against his Arsenal.
Do it.
Okay. Wait, so hold on. You guys said the draw. So Man United to win and Arsenal Villarreal draw is plus 396.
Okay, that's sexy and everything, but it's not
walking around money.
Walking around. Listen, no, we're not falling for this again. Yeah, Real is winning and Manchester United is winning, okay?
I'm going with that too.
Okay, good. All right, fine. Any final thoughts, James Bench?
Oh, no.
That's it. That's all he had.
That's it.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Jimmy Conrad.
I want to see if Tierney plays because I want to see him somehow miraculously come back, have his shirt tucked in, and do some damage against Villarreal just to get a goal. And then Villarreal, of course, wins because I don't want to ruin my parlay.
Yeah, absolutely. Big fan of Kieran Tierney. All right. Well, that's it. James Bench, thank you very much, brother.
My pleasure.
Jimmy C, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Bench for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, GegolassoPod. Listen to us. Follow us on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us to grow the show. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/GegoLasso. And of course, cbssports.com, Google Podcasts as well. Please follow us and keep supporting us. Thank you so much. Have a great, great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.